join Helen on Inspired Radio, 10 to 12 p.m. Mondays, Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Okay, Helen and Inspired Radio. Sorry, a little bit choppy there with the sequence of things. This is the first time that I've actually interviewed somebody online, so everything's lining up. The planets are lining up. This is Inspired Radio, and it's all about change and getting uncomfortable. My guests are here to tell their story, whether it's personal or professional experiences, because storytelling is such a powerful way to communicate. The show itself embodies the spirit of love, respect and compassion. And with that in mind, my guest today will cover topics which will challenge the government narrative, challenge possibly the legal narrative and our concept of authority as well. So let's start a good conversation here on Inspired Radio. Darren, welcome.
Good morning, Helen. Lovely to be here. Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you on. And firstly, I must say, thank you so much. Thank you, because you're a very private man. And it's not an easy thing to kind of step out into the public arena in any way, shape or form. So I want to thank you firstly for doing this.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I do like my privacy.
Yes, yes. And I gathered that just from the conversations that we've had. So that's why I want to thank you very much. All right. Boy, change. Inspired Radio is all about change and getting uncomfortable. And you know both of those things quite well by the sounds of things. Well, from our conversations we've had, haven't you?
Certainly experienced a lot of change in my life in the last few years, that's for sure.
So tell me, because you said that it was a pivotal point in 2020, so who was Darren before 2020?
I grew up in the bush, so in the Northern Territory.
Did you?
I did indeed.
Fantastic.
I was born in Darwin, spent much of my life in Katherine.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of thought I'd live and die in Katherine. I couldn't see any reason why anybody would want to go anywhere else.
Yep.
And thankfully that changed. Thankfully I had the opportunity to move with work. And I went back to Darwin, did a few years in Darwin. Wollongong, went to Melbourne, back up to Brisbane.
Your sounds just dropped just a little. Sorry, folks, we've just got a little sound issue happening at his end.
Speak up, certainly.
Well, that's done it. That's done it. Whatever you did, that's done it. So tell me, you said you know, born and raised in Katherine, and
yep.
That all changed at some point, and you said, thankfully. Why? Why thankfully?
Because I've had the opportunity to experience the big wide world, I guess. But I spent the best part of 20-odd years, or 22, 23 years, working for a international corporation.
Yep.
And managed to experience a lot of wonderful things working for that organisation. And it's funny, a lot of people I speak to at this point in time tell me that their lives led them to this point. All of their life has been preparing them for what we're going through at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I certainly feel the same. I think the experiences that I've had have prepared me beautifully for what I'm doing at the moment.
I know what you're saying. Because I think when I started this radio show, this is week 8 for me, right? The first show I said to everybody that in 2022 I got asked to do public speaking about living in the private, I called it, but it was really just how I wanted. I was walking a different road to everybody else. I really didn't like, I didn't think we were heading in the right direction out there. So I just started looking at how I could create a new road for myself. So that was in 2022. And during the public speaking, I met many other people that were going, yeah, we want a new road too, but we don't know how to do it. We don't know what we're doing. And then in 23, I wrote and published a book, my own life. And in 2024, because I'd seen that a lot of people were having a lot of mental health issues because of just what we'd been through in those years, I really wanted to see how I could help. So I bought in a healing modality from Ecuador and started promoting that to start helping people on how to heal themselves. So you're right. Step by step, right? Everything is getting its, and all of that was getting me to 2025 when I started a radio show. And this has just taken a life of its own. But as you said, everything was preparing me for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So how was the corporate, working 20-something years in corporate, preparing you?
Probably the big part of it was I always felt that the driver behind the corporate world was wrong. You know, everything's focused on profit and money, and people were particularly unimportant. And as much as the business I worked in felt, you know, they made effort to make people feel like they're part of a family and all of those things, at the end of the day, you're just a number.
Yeah.
And when you're beyond your usefulness, not just talking about me, but people I had working for me and all the rest of it, it really wasn't heart-centred. It really wasn't
heart-centred.
What's good for the people.
Yeah. And I hear what you're saying. It's like, you know, innately in all of us, we want an even playing field for everybody.
Yeah, that's right. That's our true nature is to be loving to our neighbours, loving to our fellow men.
Yeah.
And but I also worked in the business was a distributed business, so I had experience working with people all over the country or all over the world, having to get things done through other people, that sort of thing. So when it comes to, you know, my current projects with the assemblies and the like, it's put me in good stead for that.
Well, we're going to get to there, because nobody's got any idea on who the Darren version, I don't know, 9.1 or whatever it might be. No one knows who he is yet, but we'll certainly get there. But that's great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. So the whole arena was corporate and it wasn't an even playing field, and there was a part of you that was looking at more heartfelt, natural kind of ways of operating. Does that sum it up?
It does, yeah, but without recognising it. Now, I was oblivious to much of the truth of the world, and I was just sort of focused on me and focused on making money and doing all the things that are
well, which is what we all do, right?
That's right.
Mum and Dad taught me.
Yeah, that's what success is, isn't it?
Yes. All right, we're going to go to a song. We'll be back soon.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of empty, the sound of their breath fades with the light. I think about the loveless fascination under the Milky Way tonight. And down in Memphis, lower the curtain down on right. I got no time for private consultation under the Milky Way tonight. Wish I knew what you might have known what you would find. And it's something quite peculiar, something shimmering and white. It leads you here despite your
Welcome back, everyone. Helen here in Inspired Radio, and I'm here with my guest, Darren. Darren's coming to us from all the way up there in Queensland, in Maloney.
Indeed.
Good. I'm glad you're still there and I can still hear you. All right. So let's go to 2020, Darren. What happened in then? You said you had a wake up. You had a knowing of some sort. What happened?
Yes, I did. So maybe just to step back a little bit from that. So I was working for this one corporation for 20 odd years.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the point where I realised that I was afraid what would happen if I lost my job. So although I'd had vast experience and been promoted and had lots and lots of knowledge in that industry, I thought, I don't really know anything else because I'd started there from leaving school.
What triggered that fear, do you think?
Not really sure, but I was just conscious that at the end of the day, I was just a number.
Okay.
And if something went wrong, then I could be terminated and I wouldn't know what to do beyond that.
Yeah. Okay.
So being a little bit insane, I decided I'd start my own business. If you're going to make a change, you might as well make it a big change.
Okay. So, yeah, why not be in control of it?
Yeah, well, that's right. But I chose 2008 to do that.
Okay.
And 2008 was the global financial crisis. So it cost me absolutely everything.
So hang on. So 2008 was when you decided to start your own business?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, okay. That wasn't the best timing.
No. And so I sunk absolutely everything I had into keeping the business doors open.
Okay.
And eventually had to close the doors.
Yep.
And I guess I went through a breakdown as well. My relationship broke down and all those kinds of things. And I walked away with nothing.
That's a midlife crisis on steroids.
Well, I guess that's what it was, yeah.
Holy cow. How did you cope? How'd you come out the other side?
I moved to where my family were, my mother and my brother and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And with their help, I was able to get work and I eventually paid the bills off.
Yeah.
I had enormous bills and no assets. And crazy as I was, I decided I'd have to pay the bills rather than go bankrupt or any of those kinds of things, not recognising the true cost of doing that.
Well, I mean, we're programmed, some of us, aren't we, in a certain way? I see that with people daily on a business thing. It's like some people, I have to pay my bills immediately or else. That's just the way they do things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But the upside of that was that I learned that I could do pretty much anything. I no longer have a fear of not having work or not having an income because whatever I need, it will come to me.
It always turns up.
Yeah, and I have the ability to do whatever I set my mind to.
Isn't it crazy, though, that possibly you had to surrender everything to learn that lesson?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
Holy cow.
And life has a way of repeating the lesson until you learn it. So it did happen to me again.
Oh, but anyway. Right.
The moral of the story, I guess, is that I've come to realise that there are far more important things in life than possessions and than money. So I was already in that space. So when 2020 came around and obviously the entire world changed, it made a lot of sense to me. That knowing that I'd already had in the back of my mind that something's not quite right, the way the corporate world operates is just not quite right. It shouldn't be all about money. There's more important things than money. And then...
So what you're saying is your experiences up until that point were kind of preparing you to cope and deal with another change in a far better way than possibly others that were sitting back in that corporate job and, you know, just doing their thing. You'd had to change and reinvent yourself a couple of times, which was like preparation.
Absolutely. The thing that stops people seeing what's going on around them or prevents them from taking action when they can see what's going on around them is the fear of loss. Now, it might be loss of a license, or it might be loss of a property, or it might be loss of status or a job or whatever it might be, but it's the fear of loss that keeps people rooted in position.
Well, we wrap our identity. I mean, I've watched that a million times and I've experienced it. We wrap our identity around who we are. And that's either being a mum or a brother or a sister or an employee or an employer. That becomes our identity, doesn't it?
Very true.
All right, we're going to go to a song. We'll be back soon. To us from beautiful Mullaney up in Queensland. So Darren, that was a great analogy that you just spoke about. It's like life in whatever that thing is, source, God, whatever we want to call it, was preparing you in some way for being really good with adapting to change.
I have no doubt of that, Helen, absolutely.
Yeah.
And as difficult as it might have been at the time, it has certainly served me well in the last few years.
Again and again and again, yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's fabulous. I mean, you know, I think most of us are sort of told or conditioned that get as comfortable as you can, control everything around you as much as you can, and then you'll, you know, and live life that way, where sometimes the other way is really quite nice, isn't it? Be okay with uncomfortable.
Oh, absolutely.
And change.
And only worry about the things you can change.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond your ability to influence it.
Yep.
Then you have no business being concerned with it.
So what happened in 2020 then? What shook you awake?
To be honest, I've got no idea. So when they started talking about this super deadly virus in China, for some reason I saw right through the narrative from day one.
Okay.
And when they started talking about it moving around the world, it was just so clearly obvious to me. Now, I did my research. I went looking to find out, you know, well, what makes them think that there's a virus. And
so what did you research?
I went looking for...
Because I know you're a good researcher.
I like to research deeply. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like to comprehend the things that I'm looking into.
Mm-hmm.
So it was... I went looking for medical journals and documents that would validate what they were saying.
Right.
And listening to people like Tom Cowan, who was very early on the scene debunking what was being said. But it was just so obvious. I mean, even the government's own data in 2020, early 2020, didn't make any sense in relation to the narrative.
I mean, you know, I hear what you're saying. To you, it was very obvious, but to a lot of people, it wasn't, right? So we're not making anyone right or wrong here. We're just saying that this was your personal experience, and to you, you smelled a rat of some sort, and you went looking and researching to find out just what really was going on.
Absolutely, and I don't have any problem with people that still think that this whole thing is real, because it's been promoted and created in such a way that people don't question the narrative.
Mm. Well, I remember that. I mean, I remember certain times in my life where I was doing things or thinking things in a particular way, and I don't know what it is that kind of stops you in your tracks, and I'd think to myself, why am I thinking like this? Mm. And I realised that, well, because I just got told to, either by my mum and my dad or my teachers or, you know, those that I saw as authority around me, I had unquestionably just, you know, lived my life and done certain things because someone told me to.
Absolutely, and I'm the same. Things like I can remember distinctly with my children. The idea of vaccinating my child, it never made sense to me. I thought, you know, if you think of the way that a disease is, we're told, can enter the body, it's not through an injection. You're supposed to breathe it in. So why would you be injecting something for a supposed respiratory illness? It never made sense to me. Mm. But I accepted it, and I did what the doctors suggested. And
with your children you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so did I. But again, it's just doing as you're told. Even though I think there's something really important in what we're just saying now is we all have an instinct. We all have, we'd call it a gut instinct or a little, just a question mark, something in the back of your mind, call it whatever you want to. We have that, and for some reason, I mean, in an instant you can discount it or you can listen to it.
Yeah.
And when it's a gut feeling or a knowing, it doesn't always make sense. It's not explainable to others.
No, that's true. But we should trust our instincts, absolutely. We
should trust our instincts. Mm. And I think, though, when you're getting hammered from all directions about doing things in a particular way, instincts kind of curl up in a corner somewhere and you can't hear them.
Again, because of fear of loss. You know, when you start to question the narrative, and whether this is at work or wherever it is, if you don't comply, there's a cost to that. And the conditioning is very strong. You know, we're all in immense amounts of debt, so we're forced to work to pay for this debt. And while you're busy, you know, just watching life go by, you don't have time to stop and think about those things that are your mind or your gut is telling you are not quite right. You go, well, I've just got to do it.
So did you slow down?
Yeah, I did. So after my attempt at a business failed, I ended up moving to Gladstone.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing more labouring type jobs, so outdoors, on a shovel or doing fencing or
getting
whatever
physical.
Else. And then eventually I went to driving trucks and those kinds of things. So definitely the stress on the mind was taken away.
Mm.
And like I said, the fear of losing my job or the fear of losing my assets was no longer there because that was all gone.
Yep.
And I wasn't beholden to work. I mean, I was while I was paying the debts and all the rest of it, of course, but it becomes more of a physical tiredness than a mental tiredness. So I had time to stop and think about life and start researching things
that
I was...
That's the thing, right? Because that was something that happened for me as well. I started looking at my nan and my pop and the way that generation operated, and I started to challenge myself to go slow down a little bit and, you know, have some patience. Started looking at my moral compass and how I was operating and how I was living. I started to minimalise everything that I was doing to make life simple, because I started realising, like you did, there was a bit of a narrative out there that said that, you know, we had to be able to do a million things at once, especially women. We're supposed to be multitaskers and be able to do all sorts of things. And, you know, that just kept the pressure up. It was like we were just going all day and all night. And, you know, that affects you, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Yeah.
And when you're doing that, then you don't have time to contemplate. You don't have time to sit and have a good conversation about some concerns you may have, some questions you may have. You don't have any time for that because you're just thinking about the next moment or the next day.
And you don't have any option other than to ignore your gut, ignore the...
Yes.
The discomfort you have with what you're doing or the way things are happening around you.
Good point, because you can just sit with it, can't you? You can just sit in it. So, okay, so you started investigating what the whole virus and vaccine thing was all about. Then what happened?
Well, once I'd come to the realisation that the all countries on Earth were, what I later found out, was in lockstep, you know, the
bigger picture,
pushing the same narrative, and the narrative was about control. It wasn't about, because again, their own numbers showed that people weren't dying from the virus, and that's why on the media all you ever heard about was cases. You know, there's been 3,000 more cases and blah blah.
Well, what you're saying is that through the media there was one narrative, but and I think we've gotten past conspiracy theories these days. I mean, that used to be a real word that had a hell of a lot of weight about it. But I think as people have sort of discovered that, the reality of the way that our world works and the people in it work, that some of those theories were on the mark. So I don't want to get too much into what the bigger picture was and what that was all about. I want to get into your picture and how, you know, you started to find the bigger picture and see how it was operating. How did you then take care of your own life? What did you do?
So what I came to realise was that even if the government had ever had any legitimate authority, that their actions through 2020 onwards meant that they forfeit any right they had to rule.
And that's a big statement.
It is a big statement, and I stand by it. I think I've done some very terrible, terrible things in the last few years, like in the last 5 or 6 years. Realising also that this is not new. You know, the last few years, when you wake up and you can see what's happening around you, you sort of think that we're under this enormous, all of a sudden, pressure, but it's been going on for hundreds of years.
So, and not necessarily, though, because, look, you know, this is all, reality's personal, right? Mm. I mean, I say this again and again, there are 8 billion realities running on this planet.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own version of reality. We're either creating it or co-creating it.
Yep.
So, you know, you were saying that when you were in corporate and things like that, you didn't quite agree with some things, but you didn't see the bigger picture, did you?
No.
Right? No. So what I'm saying is you're just jumping into the bigger picture. There's a whole heap of people out there that they aren't seeing that bigger picture because we're all running different realities. So
yep.
I think what we're going to do is just knock on their realities. Is that what we'll do? I mean, like knocking on a door.
Well, Yes and no. I think a big part of the challenge we have is that people have to make their own choice.
Of course, you know, they do.
You've got to choose to open your mind to maybe there's something going on that I'm not seeing.
We're going to leave it right there, go to a song, and we'll be back soon. Guest Darren. So Darren, let's talk about this shift that was happening for you, this change that was happening for you that got you starting to look at our government, starting to look at the world and how it was operating. You just said while we were on the break that you realised that you'd been making them the authority, and you realised that you actually were the authority. So you were going kind of deeper within yourself. Is that what you were doing?
Absolutely. I mean, the reality is that the only reason government has authority is because we give them our authority.
Sure. And I mean, they're there to work for the people.
That's what we're told. They're supposedly there to provide services and to protect the people and their property.
Right. So but in your experience, you had an epiphany that you were the authority.
Well, that they get their authority from us. It's because we acquiesce to them, we allow them to make decisions that cause harm to us. And real simple things like, you know, when you've got a prime minister who's taken office with less or just over 30% of the vote, that tells you it's not the people's choice. They've made a decision as to who they're going to put in there.
Nobody even really looks into a lot of that sort of thing. I mean, I remember I didn't get into the facts and figures of it. It just was just a system that happened. But what I love more than anything is that reality that you had, that you are the authority. So, because it was a little bit like when I chose myself a new road. I wanted a new road. I didn't quite like where the world was going. So I went, I'm going to walk down a new road and I'm going to make it up as I go, right? I'm still going to behave with a good moral compass. You know, I'm not out here to challenge or question anybody else. I'm just going to walk my road. And that sounds to me what you started to do. You decided you were the authority. You, I you know, I presume and I know actually have a very good moral compass. So I just want people to know out there that you weren't going out to kind of, you know, start challenging the status quo or anything else. You were just starting to make some choices for yourself, yeah?
Oh, absolutely.
So what did you do?
Again, recognising that if I give the government authority, then they have authority. So I started taking back my own authority.
Okay.
That's not to say that I think of myself as any better than anybody else, but it's just I have to self-govern. I have to be in control of my own actions, my reactions, my emotions.
Mm-hmm. And these were your choices, right, that you were making for yourself?
Absolutely. And so I guess when I came to realise what was going on in the world around me, and this is not just Australia, this is the world around me, I decided I could no longer support it. So I started to do away with things like the licence and registrations and bank accounts and back myself out of the system completely. Anything that I saw as giving authority to the government, I didn't want to be a part of. I didn't want to support what they were doing.
So you were kind of, I mean, essentially, I'm just thinking now, you were going back to how we operated 150 years ago?
kind of. I mean, I still had the mod cons and all of those things at the time.
But it wasn't something new, I suppose, is what I'm alluding to. It's like, well, once upon a time we didn't have registrations and licences and things like that. So for you, though, it was you walking a new path and taking your own authority back and not having so much to do with the systems.
That's right. It's one of the things.
Sorry, Darren, I'm just being really sensitive here for everyone that's listening out there as well. Because I find also, let me just say that there's a show on tonight on Four Corners that is talking about, I've got the excerpt here, a growing anti-government movement in Australia challenging the authority of courts, councils and cops. And it's not saying the best things about people that may be challenging the system, and I'm hearing that that's what you're talking about at the moment. So I just want for everybody out there to know, let's just have an open mind and listen to what Darren has to say, because in your reality, you needed some change and you went about making that change.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably the primary driver for me was recognising, once you come to realise that there are two dictionaries. Now, if you'd have said to me 6 or 7 years ago that I would love reading Bibles and love reading dictionaries, I would have laughed at you. But I have an enormous amount of fun reading things like the dictionaries.
Why did you need to do that?
I'm sorry?
Why did you need to do that?
Because it is the words that deceive us, the use of the words. And this is the point with the two dictionaries. So there's an English dictionary that we're given to use in school, and they have common words and common definitions, the definitions that we know and use and love. But there's a second dictionary, which is the legal dictionary. The legal dictionary has the same words in it, but it's got different, very different definitions.
Is this Black Laws?
In Australia, it's the LexisNexis Australian Law Dictionary.
Okay.
So they'll tell you in the courts here they don't use Black's Laws. But it's that style of thing. It's a law dictionary, a legal dictionary.
Can I just say something there? Because I worked in the legal industry on and off for 30 years. Yeah. And I remember only a few years in having an epiphany of my own. And I said to my boss at the time, and I said, you guys are only needed because people can't come to mutual or amicable resolutions for certain things. And you've then sort of taken another layer to that and put a language that includes Latin and things like that so people can't quite understand what it is that gets written in law or whatnot. This is me just putting in a real snapshot here. But I said, you know, you just made it up, basically, and then added language to it. And he pondered for a little bit and he said, yeah, that's it. That's it.
So we're deceived by the...
Well, it's not even that. I don't think there's a deception. I don't think it's an intentional deception. I think that, you know, I see the whole world as a bit of a multi-level marketing game. And if you start the game, then you know the rules, you know how it works, and, you know, it just becomes layers and layers and layers of something. And whoever started the game benefits more than everybody else.
Well, that is true.
How's that for an analogy?
But it's also... You know, life is simple. Life should be simple. Everything we do is simple. It's complicated because of the deception with the words.
Mm-hmm.
The legal system that is what runs the world, so all of the acts and statutes that are put out by the government are done in legal form.
Well, so I agree with that statement that you made, that life is complicated and it should be simple.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're just going to go to a song. We'll be back soon.
Have you woken up and prayed for the rain? How many times have you seen the papers apportion the blame? But who gets to say? Who gets to work and who gets to play? I was always told at school everybody should get the same. Times have you been told, if you don't ask, you don't get? How many lies have taken your money, your mother said you should bet? Who has the fun? Is it always a man with a gun? Someone must have told him if you work too hard, you can sweat. There's always the sun. We'll be right back.
Caroline here, and Inspired Radio. We're about to get to the hour and finish up. So, Darren, thank you. It's been a pleasure having you on. So let's finish off this way. Do you want a better world?
Absolutely. And in fact, I know that a better world is coming.
How do you know that?
I trust my gut.
Uh-huh. That's how the story started today, didn't it? And that's how we're going to wrap it up. It's like you know.
Absolutely. You know.
Yeah. How are we going to do it?
There are millions of people worldwide who are working actively to create a new and better world. And they're doing it through all different types of groups and different initiatives. It's ground up, not centrally driven, which is why it will succeed.
So there's many people like you and me who are just, you know, kind of seeing that maybe we're not heading in the right direction and we're walking a new path.
They're recognising that they have the authority and the ability to create the world they want.
Mm.
The vast majority of us do not need rulers. And right now we have rulers, and those rulers don't care what we think or what we want. So the trick is to do what I did, and that is to say, and you don't have to do it to the extremes I've done it. It's cost me a great deal to do that.
Mm.
And I did it before I knew a whole lot about what was happening, you know, how the world ran. But when we step to get, we come together. So first we self-govern. We say, I need to be in control of my reactions, my actions, my emotions. I need to give thought to how can I work with my fellow man to create a better world. And then we come together and we begin creating it.
And that's perfect. That's perfect, right? Because I think you're absolutely right. If we want something, if we're all creating our own realities, it starts with our thought about wanting something better.
Yeah.
And then starting to have a conversation with somebody about having something better.
Yeah.
How can we do it? Because some of the comments that you've made today, you know, some people, I mean, it's just, you know, it's over the top. It's over the top because, you know, we can't leap too far into, you know, if we didn't have the reality that we do right now, then that leaves people sitting in this void, in this space going, oh, what else are we going to have, you know? And if we don't have this and this and this, how are we going to operate? But I think that what you just said is it's a starting point for somebody, isn't it? It's like if you've got a thought and an idea of wanting to have a lovely world that's operating in a simpler, less complicated way, you're just letting people know that there's a lot of people out there that are doing that are wanting the same thing.
Absolutely. And we create a new narrative. We are controlled by narratives. You know, the cases was creating a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
We're creating a new narrative. And that new narrative is about our true nature, which is we care for our fellow men.
And that's a good place to finish. Thank you, Darren. Thank you so much for coming on. And as I said, you know, being a private man coming out and saying things like, you know, your personal life and things out into the public, I'm very grateful. Thank you so much for doing that. And if people want to connect with, you've got a group yourself that are looking at change, what is the website?
The best place to find me would be on the website tasanational.net, TASANational.net.
So if people are curious about change and wanting to understand a little bit more about what's going on out there, that's how they can connect, yeah?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Darren. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Helen. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you, everybody out there. This has been Inspired Radio. I'll see you at 10 o'clock next Monday.